Welcome back to Startup Stories DSM podcast and video. Today we have joining us, we have Greg Bailey, the founder and CEO of Propel, and Haley Stomp, who is a founding partner and principal and also a fractional CMO. So we'll get into later what CMO is, but thank you guys for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
So I want to start, before we talk about the business, I think it's fascinating to kind of first learn about how you guys got to where you are today. So can we kind of just talk about what is the kind of your story of origin? And I guess the first question I'll ask is, you know, when you were growing up, did you imagine you would be in this world of entrepreneurship, whether it was starting a business or also working with businesses as they're trying to grow? Well, Greg, if you want to kick us off.
Happy to. Thanks again, Diana, for the opportunity to be on today. And I guess this is my second time on Startup Stories, right? Thank you. So it's exciting. Did I envision myself as an entrepreneur? The answer is yes. Did I envision myself in growing marketing teams and working in big Fortune 500 companies? That part of my career, the answer is no. But you know, life has a way of happening, right? And life has a way of bringing us opportunities and putting us in special places and unique things and come our way. And I'm a big believer that, you know, luck favors, you know, the person who wakes up every morning and puts on their work boots. And so that's just kind of how I feel. And kind of one of my disposition in life in a way is get up and put yourself out there and work hard every day and then be as lucky as you possibly can be. And another way to say that is just that I feel absolutely blessed to be around the people that I'm around and, you know, just really, really fortunate to be in the scenario to build Propel the way we are.
Mm-hmm. Haley, what about yourself?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Diana, for having us on. I don't think I necessarily saw myself as an entrepreneur, but when I was growing up, but I know along different points along my career, there were opportunities to take new adventures and grow new parts of businesses. And those were always the things that excited me. I always wanted to do the things that other people hadn't done yet or be kind of out in the lead, even if it seemed a little crazy at first. It was always where I thrive and what I find fun. Mm-hmm. I started out as an engineer in my career. And so I think it was just sort of this progression I've had to get me to this place where it's really exciting to be where we are right now, starting this business and working with other businesses to grow.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk a little bit about like going from an engineer to marketing? That's a cool transition.
Yeah. You know, it's been a really fun, I feel lucky, honestly, to sort of have lived these two lives. And I know some of my engineering friends told me I was going to the dark side when I went into marketing, but for me, it's such a great way to understand the whole picture of business, especially if you're making something or trying to sell an idea that has to do with science. It's really great to understand the science behind it so that you can help translate and explain that to potential customers. So for me, I think, I loved the engineering part of it, but even more, I wanted to be out in the world meeting with customers and meeting with people. And I felt like the marketing end of it was going to be a better place for me to interact with people and make things happen.
So I guess when you guys were growing up, like what did you want to be? I'm curious if there's like a word or anything that really stuck out when you were growing up.
Continue on, Haley.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my gut reaction to this question is always, I want to be a rock star. Like, I still want to be a rock star. I think I could be on a stage and be a singer. I would still want to do, I think that's what I wanted to do. But I was battling between sort of the hard science and the creative side. And so I was drawn more to the hard science. But now with marketing, I get to do both. We use data a lot to make decisions. But there's this creative side of marketing and sort of this sort of fearless approach to try new things. Mm-hmm.
Mine wasn't necessarily a rock star, I have to admit. I was thinking earlier today about in the third grade, I wrote a book for my elementary school library. And so, you know, and it was all about this character I invented and had imagined about, and I named him Waldo. And Waldo went off to the carnival and had many imaginative adventures at the carnival with all the carnival animals and the rides and whatnot. And I thought that was pretty cool, actually, that I actually wrote it in pencil and I drew all of the images and all the things in there with colored pencils and then put a manila folder, kind of a decorated manila folder over the top as the book cover and put it into our elementary school library and my classmates could check it out. Then that's like, wasn't that a thing? But anyway, that just was kind of an example of maybe an early day. The other example I'll share with you is that even younger than third grade, my mom still loves telling the story around how back in those days you had a dishwasher, or our family anyway had a dishwasher in our little home in Missouri, and you would wheel it over in front of the sink and you would take the hoses and you would attach the hoses up to the sink, right, for the water to come into the dishwasher. And one afternoon I was feeling especially industrious and I had just started to learn about what screwdrivers were, and so I decided I would take the dishwasher apart. Mm-hmm. As probably like a 5-year-old, I'm guessing. And so anyway, those were a couple of examples of those early days of curiosity and creativity and just finding how things work, learning about how things work, learning what makes people tick, learning where gaps exist in markets. I guess that's probably a pretty big leap I just took there, but that's really kind of how my brain operates. When I first met Haley, I'm probably explain something I'll explain here in a few moments is my guess, is that I oftentimes think in Venn diagrams. And I know that's not typical. I'm a little weird that way, but we're all a little weird in our own special ways. And so that's kind of one of my things, is just my, I guess, this intuitive nature that I come with that thinks about big trends and big opportunities and where those intersect. Mm-hmm. And where the opportunities lie and all of that.
That's great. I like the lens of curiosity. That's mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite things to actually read about. And, but I'd be curious. So Greg, did you have an author photo taken when you were a third grader? That'd be fun to showcase.
I think it was my school photo. And I was, I didn't like that year in particular because I think that was about the year that I got eyeglasses for the very first time. And I'm dating myself here, but this is back in the 1980s. And boy, back then when you really had bad eyesight, those lenses were really, really, really thick. Mm-hmm. And so I really lived up to the four eyes, moniker that was the talk of the day. So anyway, I'm sure that's what my photo looked like back then.
Okay. Let me know if you find it. So can you kind of talk about maybe an influential moment or person in your life that's kind of gotten to you where you are today in that intersection? And we'll talk a little bit here soon about Propel, but talk about, either a moment or a person.
Go ahead, Haley.
Yeah. For me, and I love the idea of sliding door moments in your life. You know, it's a reference to that old Gwyneth Paltrow movie where, you seize this moment. And there was a moment several years ago in my career where I was offered an opportunity to go basically work on launching a product that I didn't know anything about, involved working with a company in China. I'd never been to China. And my colleague at the time, she's a community leader and she's in innovation here in Iowa, Curtie Levy. She said to me, do you want to go to Asia for a month and do this? And I'm like, you know what? Yes, I do. I don't know anything about it. I didn't have my visa or anything. And within about a week, I was on a plane to Beijing. And, that is a point in my life. I look back and think a huge, huge change in just my vision of what was possible and what I was capable of doing. And I think it was just that point, that pivot point for me that really changed where I was going to go.
Mm-hmm. So taking a pretty big leap, it sounds like.
Yes, it was.
Nice. Greg, what about yourself?
I think one that I would point to, many that we could spend all day talking through, mm-hmm. right? But and not that any one of these that I'll mention are any more important or valuable than others, but one that I think often about is we had the opportunity, and my family and I had the opportunity to relocate out of the Midwest for the first time in 2011. And we moved to Orange County, California, and I became a marketing executive for a Fortune 500 called Pacific Life, big insurance company out of Newport Beach, California. So we relocated there. I got into the work life and so on, you know, that happens in a big company. And during that time, though, I had the opportunity, primarily because of proximity and geography, to visit the Bay Area quite a bit, and Silicon Valley in particular. And I got involved in organizations of other marketing executives and chief marketing officers, where I was a part of groups where we would go to the typical, what I call the Silicon Valley, you know, field trip day, which is you go and you visit the headquarters of the Googles and the Facebooks and the Twitters and LinkedIn, and so on and so forth. And so, and even firms like, just world-renowned firms that were like design firms that used to work with Steve Jobs and, you know, and so on and so forth. And so you kind of get it kind of engrossed in the lure of, you know, everything that is Silicon Valley and meeting those types of people and just understanding how they think. During about that same period of time, I also did some graduate school work at Stanford Graduate School of Business. And so that even further accelerated some of those thoughts and just the relationships that you develop through those types of opportunities. And so not one distinct thing in all of that, but kind of all of that as a collection over about probably a 2-year period of time while we lived in California, just before we moved to Des Moines. And all of that really kind of encapsulated and really lit the fire for what ended up being my entrepreneurial leap in 2015 to found Denim. And here we are today then in 2022 announcing and launching just about 6 weeks ago, Propel. So I point back to that phase of life, though, as a keen opportunity that I had to take advantage of, really inspiring and just, you know, giving me the confidence maybe to seek out some of those opportunities as a tech company founder and an entrepreneur.
And that kind of leads right into kind of the next question is like, what led you to start Propel? So talk a little bit maybe about Denim and then where you're at today, 6 weeks ago, in starting Propel.
Yeah. So I founded Denim back in 2015 here in Des Moines. Mm-hmm. And we grew the company, you know, just from an idea that I'd had. And I successfully exited the company at the end of last year. You know, Denim now has about 50 employees. And, you know, as of last fall, when we closed the Series B round for Denim, it was valued at $30 million. And so very, very proud of the work that the team's continuing to do to grow that business. And so with my successful exit at the end of last year, a few months ago, you know, it brings kind of all the questions about, okay, what's next? And, you know, my wife wasn't too keen on early retirement or any of those kind of things. And I don't think I would enjoy that. So back to what I mentioned a moment ago, which is the concept of thinking in Venn diagrams, the concept of looking at where things are in the world, the concept of identifying where things intersect and where the overlaps and opportunities might be. And so we like to say that, you know, it's filling a gap that exists kind of in this traditional full-time executive CMO hiring. And we think that's off and broken. And so I'll give you a couple of highlights here that kind of fueled this thinking process of founding Propel. So a recent McKinsey study of 260 global CEOs, of those 260 global CEOs, 83% of them said that they see marketing as a major driver of growth for their business or for their company. So that's kind of a data point. We put in a Venn diagram, right? There's another study out of a company called Spencer Stuart. The study is called the CMO Tenure Study. It's done once a year. And the average CMO tenure now has dropped to 40 months. And that's the lowest point since 2009, the lowest average tenure of a chief marketing officer anywhere in the world since 2009. And so the point of it all is that on these two data points is CEOs view marketing as the major leader of growth in their companies, yet the role of the chief marketing officer from my vantage point and our vantage point as Propel is it's broken. And so how can we reinvent the role? How can we reinvent how companies engage and source that marketing leadership? We've coined a category, which we're pioneering. You'd say we invented it, I guess, called marketing leadership as a service. And to us, marketing leadership as a service is this category that takes homage from the software as a service in a la the former company I created, and also pairs it with executive leadership like Haley, like myself, like others on our team, and puts that all together to say, hey, look, there's a better way to source and engage marketing leaders in a service orientation on a fractional basis. We'll get into, I'm sure, around what we call a fractional chief marketing officer. So again, if we just think about that intersection, just to recap it, you know, we've created Propel where in one Venn diagram, it'd be what I call the demand for more innovative marketing that's tied to business growth. Mm-hmm. So that direct correlation from marketing investment to business growth. And then the second Venn diagram would be where industry finds itself today, which is significant talent shortages, bigger hiring challenges than we've ever faced in the past. So that's in a second Venn diagram. And then the third circle, I should say, in that diagram would be what we'll call the trending benefits of flexible work that exists nowadays in the gig economy. And so when you put those things together, you start to identify the overlap that we've built Propel and we're building Propel around today.
So I guess it's really helpful. And I'm glad you spelled out what CMO is for people who might not know.
Chief Marketing Officer, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know about Haley. I'm not a physician. You don't want to put me in the chief medical officer context.
Yeah, to clarify. So I'm curious, when you're working with companies, now that you've identified, you know, you said 83% of the CEOs, they're looking for growth to happen via marketing, marketing strategies and implementation. So typically, like what's their problem usually? And how big of a problem are you guys typically trying to address? I don't know if you can kind of give examples, but anything that you kind of want to share there.
Mm-hmm. Haley, you want to jump in?
Yeah. A couple of thoughts. You know, a lot of things have changed quickly in the marketplace. And so, you know, there's competition is able to catch up and copy things a lot sooner. So I think there's just a sense of urgency around how do you stay competitive, because it's easier for people in today's virtual world to copy other people's technology or you know, you don't have that leadership position for very long. And the other piece of that is, you know, the marketing technology itself is changing so quickly. So, you know, how do you keep up with that? How do you find people that can help you stay abreast of what's going on there? The other thing I think too is back to the technology and how it's changed the marketplace and just that relationship or the sales cycle or that relationship with a customer. In the old days, people used to send face-to-face people to go and tell customers about what they're doing. And, you know, the data that we've looked at in the past is that something like 70% of all the research people do before they buy something happens before a person from your company actually talks to them. So, you know, where does that research and interaction and how do people learn about your products or your services? Where does that happen? That happens on all of these digital platforms and all these other ways. And that's really a lot of that is driven from marketing. And you have to put together a strategy because it's difficult to know, you know, if you're not sure which platform should we use, what is the best way to reach our customer? It's difficult to do that without a good strategy. And so I think, you know, a lot of times CEOs can recognize, I know I need to spend this money on marketing. I'm not really sure where the best place to spend it is to get a return. And I'm not sure that we have the newest ideas, or maybe we need to change our marketing strategy and we don't know where to start. And like Greg mentioned, maybe our best marketing people have left recently because the turnover is high, and mm-hmm. it's easy for marketing people you know, that's the good and bad thing about the marketing profession is marketing concepts apply across multiple industries and in multiple ways. And so you may have your best marketing person jump to another area. So I think it's, you know, very similar to what Greg mentioned in terms of the areas of the Venn diagram. But I think it's really about bringing in fresh ideas and urgent ideas on growth strategy. You know, making sure you're supplementing some of the things maybe you've always done with new information and new data and innovation on how you're reaching your customers.
I'm curious, who is your ideal customer and business to work with?
Yeah, so we're targeting out of the gates here as we launched the business and introduced the business just recently on two audiences of types of companies. And those two audiences are mid-sized companies. And so these would be long-standing, profitable companies that just haven't quite figured out how to grasp marketing as a growth engine for their business or a growth factor for their business. Maybe they haven't yet hired a VP of marketing or a marketing leader or a CMO. Maybe they have a few or a handful of marketing specialists on their team, but they really haven't figured out how to leverage marketing for growth's sake. And so that would be one audience. We just capitalize it as a mid-sized company. The other, though, is venture-funded startups. And so partly based on my last company and the stage it was at when I exited a few months ago, and venture-funded startups are kind of a natural fit for this type of service as well, where they've not yet quite made it to the level where they're going to hire a full-time employee. And I'll have a couple of more things, and maybe, Haley, you can expand kind of on the cost benefit also about fractional CMO and what that is versus full-time hire. But you know, venture-funded startups are often in a situation, and by the way, we could further define that as like Series A level startup or later. Okay. And you know, within that world, startups are very exciting, but they're also very, very innately focused on how to grow revenue, how to get more customers, how to grow revenue, how to grow sales. And our bias is that marketing is a tremendous lever to pull and invest in a significant way to grow a venture-funded startup very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Haley, you want to take it from there?
Yeah, I'll make a comment on the cost-benefit piece. You know, I mentioned earlier about just the speed and the urgency that the market changes, that marketing changes, and hiring takes a long time. You know, so there's quite, most companies have a fairly in-depth hiring process, and then you bring someone on board and you have to train them. And then at some point you start to see that return. And when you hire someone full-time, of course you have the benefits and things that you need to add on top of that cost. And then if they only stay an average of 40 months, you know, it can be a short time frame where you're seeing the return. I think the nice thing about working with us is that you get us right away. You know, if you wanted tomorrow, if we decided to work together, we're pretty experienced and we can start right away. So you skip sort of that beginning training point. Another way to look at it is maybe you do want to hire somebody full-time because you need that person on your staff. But while you're hiring that person full-time, we can step in and help keep those things rolling. So there's that, we could fill that gap. And oh, by the way, also help you hire the right person. So, you know, I think there's different ways to look at the cost benefit. But, you know, I know a lot of procurement people, their job is to save money. The thing about marketing is we know how to spend money to make money. And I think that's the other way to look at this is, you know, when you spend marketing money, if you do it in the right way, you can make more money. And that's the whole idea of getting that return and growing your business. So I think, well, there's a lot of ways that can be a cost benefit.
Yeah. And I know when both you and Greg were talking, I thought about, we used to teach at Iowa State through the entrepreneurship programs, marketing is essentially the slide and then the sales is what it drops into. And it was always a helpful way to show that no, marketing and sales do talk to each other. But you have this slide of marketing strategies and what those, you know, marketing spend and how you actually reach your customers or your clients. And so, but it was a fun way to show, like, you know, you, they're absolutely necessary. And how that process might look for many businesses, companies, and even organizations. So thanks for kind of going into that. I'm kind of curious, do you notice like any like triggering points when people are calling you, and these might be more pain points. I know you've already talked about like the talent shortage and it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do for 6 months? But kind of talk about ways in which people have been reaching out to you, whether that's organically, but also, you know, sorry. Something has popped up. But anyways, ways that people are reaching out and what you guys have noticed as they're reaching out to you guys.
I would say this, that on a couple of different angles here. So one is in one camp, the venture funded startup camp. And so naturally, when a successful fundraise has just occurred and a startup comes into a wire transfer one morning when they wake up and they go, oh, wow, we just have, you know, 7 or 8 zeros behind some big number in our bank account now. What do we, you know, like, what's next? And of course, they already, you know, good startups will have a plan and they know what's next. But often that is a natural, you referred to a trigger point or a natural inflection point where a startup would want to have already teed up and engaged with a fractional CMO service like Propel. And so, you know, Haley's already indicated, you know, the ability to really almost, not quite, but almost turn on a light switch and turn on your Propel CMO and put them in place and go, right? And part of that kind of first onboarding phase is, okay, a quick marketing audit followed by a quick building of a strategic marketing plan. We just call it the Propel marketing plan to really get the strategy set first. You know, Henry Ford back in the day said, culture eats strategy for breakfast, but then I quickly will follow that up. And Greg Bailey says, yeah, but strategy's for lunch. And so, so anyway, you got to get all of that kind of connected and straight, but we like to put that strategy development right up at the front to make sure we have a solid foundation to build from. Whatever the campaigns are, whatever the execution plan is, whatever the marketing channels are that we're going to deploy, whatever the tactics are, whatever the, you know, the measurements and the analytics say, all of that follows whatever the strategy, you know, the strategy is what holds it all together and kind of provides the launching pad, right? To propel from. How about that? And so anyway, that's kind of the early stage and how we think of an inflection point of how businesses have been engaging with us on the venture funded startup side. On a more established company front, like a mid-sized company, we just think it's an opportunity for those companies to rethink on two fronts. Haley's mentioned one of them in very succinctly, which is that, hey, there's a gap that needs filled. Someone left for a different opportunity and they need a marketing leader to come in and play that role for a period of time. Now, who knows, that role for a period of time may all of a sudden turn into something much bigger than that once they find that this model actually is more cost effective than hiring a full-time marketing leader in that role. The other is what I've alluded to in this conversation, which is that you know, if they've tried marketing leadership or hiring a CMO in the past and that person hasn't worked out for whatever reason, or that person moved on after a period of time, or maybe they tried hiring and they weren't successful in hiring and they just never actually filled the role. Those types of more established companies, we just want to get the message out there to those types of companies that there's a different model in town now. There is a marketing leadership subscription-based CMO service called Propel that, you know, on a monthly recurring fee basis, not unlike they would pay for Netflix, is available to plug in their Propel CMO quickly with tons of background and experience, and also with the benefit, the added value to our client, to the business, of what I call brainstormed innovation or brainstormed ideation. And that's the notion that every week, and we all enter into this magical cone of silence, right? And in that cone of silence, we discuss as a team, as the brain trust that is Propel, we discuss client matters, client issues, and challenges. And while a client has their own one touch point of their singular Propel CMO, they're also gaining the benefit and the value week by week of input from all of us and all of our best thinking. So I think those are a few things that we want to help get the message out to more established companies as well as venture-funded startups.
Can I make one comment on the trigger points too? The other thing I would add on that is, you know, as businesses grow, as they hit different revenue milestones, you know, they scale and they have different needs. And so I think that's another thing too is I've seen businesses hit certain pivot points or these inflection points where they've hit a scale and they need to approach it a little bit differently than they've been approaching it. So they, you know, if you've been a $10 million company and you want to become a $100 million company, it would be nice to have some input from somebody who's been at a $100 million company. So, you know, or if you just hit $1 million and you want to get to 10, whatever that scaling is, the marketing needs are different depending on the size of your business. So it's helpful if you're at that point, if you're a CEO and you're trying to grow your business by tenfold, it's helpful to have some advice or help create that plan from somebody who's been there.
So ultimately, what does success look like for Propel and also for each of you in your roles?
I think from Propel's perspective, we have milestones and goals that we've laid out for this year in 2022 and beyond. But I want to harken back to the reason why we're building Propel in the first place, which is that we fundamentally believe that there is a better, more efficient, more profitable way for businesses to work with a marketing leader, a CMO, and that is our subscription-based marketing leadership as a service. And so in the future, as we think about scaling Propel, there are certainly the number of CMOs and the number of customers and businesses and clients that we've assisted over time. There are those typical metrics, right? But I think it's also more important at this stage that we think about the enduring value that we bring into the market. And so as we think about our success metrics, it's more about how can we provide more and more value to businesses that we work with. And so if we nail that and figure that out, the rest will take care of itself. Unlike my past company, which was a venture-funded startup, Propel is not. And so Propel will grow as the market dictates and on two sides of this market, right? Which is one, recruiting very highly experienced and very carefully vetted chief marketing officers that want to be a fractional CMO with Propel. And then on the other side of the market is these businesses that we've talked about that we're bringing this service to. So I think over the next 5 to 10 years, you know, a big, hairy, audacious goal, a BHAG or a big vision that I have is that having a Propel CMO becomes almost as synonymous with Googling it. That in fact, of course, a business, of course, they'd want to have a Propel CMO because that's what everybody's doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the idea that we've reinvented how businesses go about sourcing that marketing leader. And that's, you know, that just the marketing strategy role. Haley, anything?
Yeah, you know, the only thing I was going to add is just from my standpoint, just from a very, I guess, idealistic perspective, on the work that we're doing, I of course growth is such a good milestone. Did we help somebody grow? That's a, you know, were our contributions important to that? I like to say that we want to make marketing matter to your business, so your business matters to your customers.
Well said. And so I'm going to ask you kind of a fun question: what is one thing you wish you knew from last week? And then also, what's one thing that you wish you knew before maybe you started Propel? I know maybe that was just less than 2 months ago, but I'm just curious. It could be anything on the thing that you wish last week that you would have known now.
Haley, I think it's got to be something about kids, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I learned something every day on how to parent preteens. So there, you know, every day is a lesson there. I've learned that my singing is embarrassing to my children. You know, I think this whole process has been such a learning experience. For me, I was with a company for almost 20 years. So starting a business has been really, it's been really exciting, but there's also a lot of learning that goes on. And I think For me, I think it's sort of the thing I've learned is just kind of let go and do it. And it's sort of a, if you build it, they will come thing. And Greg talked about luck earlier, but I fully believe that the harder I work, the luckier I am. And so I think it's just right now, I'm not sure what every step is going to result in, but I'm just going to continue to take those steps. Mm-hmm. And things keep happening when I do.
Yeah. I'm going to take a little lenience and go a little more than a week, but I'll echo the fact that as the parent of a teenager and a preteen and two middle school boys, I'm learning every week about not only the words that are in vogue, you know, like back in my day, it was rad and, you know, some of those types of words, but I'm coming up with words now that I never thought would mean the things that they actually mean. They're not bad things, but they're just unique and different things. Like I could say Propel is a very Gucci business. I thought Gucci was a big brand of handbags. I didn't know, but, anyway, I digress. And, I would say, gosh, too many lessons to talk about on this short amount of time that I've learned over the last 6.5 to 7 years of building denim. But there are just countless things when you're taking a business from an idea and distilling it down to paper and distilling it into actual a business model that the market says, yeah, that we think that could work, to hiring people to put around it and building products and just everything that goes into that. And so, look, tons of lessons from building on denim that we're bringing forward into Propel, and some that, you know, were just flat out things that I just messed up on and will leave behind, you know, just leave in the past. And so that would be how I'd respond to that.
Okay. Thank you. So kind of talking now about more of the community, and specifically, let's talk about the Des Moines startup community, small business community, and even beyond, maybe Iowa. What do you think, from your experience, like what is something that might be on your wish list for the entrepreneurial community here in Iowa, but here in central Iowa too? Anything that stands out that would make things easier or make things easier for the businesses you work with too?
Yeah, I think that, back in the day, I always said that, we just need to, back in the day to me was about 7-8 years ago in we'll call it 2015 when I was founding Denim, and I was really concerned, and all through building Denim, I was very concerned and about finding the right talent that we needed access to hire. But again, this was in an environment in 2016, 17, 18, and so on, pre-COVID, let's call it, where we needed to hire the people and have them in our office, right? They needed that. That's kind of the way that we were rolling at the time. And probably around 2019, it became very apparent to me that no, we're not going to have the ability to hire all the right talent in Des Moines, but remote work in a remote environment or a hybrid environment is okay. And so we adapted to that and we began hiring people from across the country and so forth. And so that's only been exacerbated, of course, now, and has played right into the hands of how we're building Propel at this point. Mm-hmm. And so geography matters less today than it did, say, 3 years ago. And that's just become an accepted norm now that the three of us we're all in the Des Moines Metro, I would presume, but we're all in different buildings at the moment. And so that's one thing that I think about is, look, just having access to the right talent. And so recruiting efforts to bring professionals into the market and not having that proverbial brain drain, right, is more people than maybe, we relocated here in 2014, and my wife had never been to Des Moines, Iowa before we literally moved here. There was no turning back. You know, the moving trucks had already left California. And so she saw our home that we bought. She saw it on FaceTime. And so I think that's, you know, Des Moines got a heck of a lot to offer. And that's just a story that, you know, the partnership and others are doing a fantastic job of getting the word out about. And I think we need to continue beating that drum. It's working. And so just double down on that. I would say specific to small business and startups, a lot of activities going on around town. Unfortunately, I don't get to all of them anymore as much as I used to, but, everything from 1 million cups to the things that Jeff Wood and his team at Clay and Milk and Gravitate are putting together on a consistent basis. The things, Diana, that you are doing, like your new newsletter. Thanks for putting that together and curating that information. And just, I'm sure all of the programs I have no idea about that you're helping lead. Just too many people, right? They're all led by people who are passionate about different sectors of this arena of startups and growing businesses. I would harken back to even things like the IEDA, the Iowa Economic Development Authority, and VentureNet Iowa, John LaMarche and that team, and Debbie Durham, of course, leading IEDA. And Denham was, back in the day, we were awarded one of the grants. I don't even think it's a grant anymore, but back in the day, it was a grant. And that was a real meaningful thing. IEDA has a wonderful internship, kind of a cost-sharing internship mechanism that Denham took advantage of for a period of time. And we hired this fantastic graduate student out of Iowa State that we otherwise wouldn't have been able to hire through that. So just too many things to kind of laundry list go through at the moment. But if I had one wish, I think it would be a wish where we find the right mechanism to do more hybrid events. And what I mean by that is not everybody, including maybe even people that look a little bit more like myself. Haley, I'm not going to put you in this camp, but myself, I'm a little more seasoned now than the typical kind of like, hey, I'm fresh out of college and I'm building a startup, right? And so that's a gap that I think somehow there is not quite bridged yet. And when I talk about hybrid events, young people like to be in the energy and in person in a downtown core business district often, right? Through their workday, they might want to live there. I have no desire to do that anymore, but I would still love to add in and add value. But the chances of me actually getting in downtown anymore, heck, we used to have an office right above the partnership at 7th and Locust. But the chances nowadays of me taking time to make that commute and do all of that are less and less. So, and as life continues on, we'll probably spend more time outside of Iowa even. And so how could I stay connected back into kind of where I got this entrepreneurialism start in Des Moines would be one of my wishes.
Okay.
Yeah, and for me, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, what about yourself?
Yeah. You know, for me, I think we need to keep Des Moines cool. I feel like Reagan should be on the national scene. That they have such a potential to be there, so funny and so good. I also have found in the last few months, interacting with the universities, there's so many people, such a great connection and network and community there to tap into. I've made friends with some of the students at some of the universities and followed them on LinkedIn, and I'm amazed at what they're already doing. And so I think that, you know, I think it kind of, to me, Greg touched on the generation thing, and we're the same age, Greg. It's cool. We're in the same camp, I think. But
it's cool for us, not our kids, though.
Yeah, I'm not cool anymore. That's for sure. But you know, I think that just being open to ideas at any from you know that interaction from generation to generation, that like breaking down those walls or assumptions there. I saw a third generation business owner speak a couple of years ago. He's an Iowa business owner, young guy, younger than us. And he said, you know, what he wanted us to know as business leaders, he goes, if you think we're 70% of the way there, give us a chance. You know, so that generation was like, look, don't wait for us to be where you think where we've got everything that you think we need to have. Give us a shot sooner. So I think there's a lot of understanding that can happen, you know, cross-generational too, to help for all of us to help each other keep Des Moines cool and keep the scene going. It is very much, I think, such a warm and welcoming community from a networking standpoint. At least that's been my experience the last few months, is that I met with two people for coffee last week. I have 8 new people to meet with now. It's like gremlins. You pour water on it and all of a sudden it's just this exponential network. And so that's a really nice advantage we have in Des Moines that we need to continue to take advantage of.
Thank you guys both for saying that. And I'm curious, kind of as we close down, do you have any final thoughts that you want the audience to know about? Feel free to share.
Yeah, I would just say go reach out if you're interested in learning more about Propel, having a conversation with any of us on our team. And I should pay just one little quick tip to or shout out to Randy Bachman and Glenn Rothenberg, who are also part of our team. And so Randy's also here in the Des Moines Metro. Glenn Rothenberg's out in the Seattle, Washington area. And learn more about us at propelcmo.com. Reach out through the website. We'll be happy to follow up with you. And would love to have those conversations.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys both, Greg and Haley, for being on today. And find out more, as Greg mentioned, it's propelcmo.com. And then you can find this podcast and more through dsmpartnership.com. So thank you guys both for being here.
Thank you. Thank you, Diana.
Thanks for listening to Small Business and Startup Stories DSM. Inspired by these stories, we offer a hub full of resources needed for any small business owner to grow and succeed in Greater Des Moines, Iowa at dsmpartnership.com/small-business. Thank you for listening.